A grant from Horene's Pianos Plus, your Steinway Piano Showroom in Bloomington. Horene's Pianos Plus offers new and pre-owned pianos by Steinway & Sons, Boston by Steinway, and other fine pianos. Today's programming is made possible in part by a grant from the Living Yoga Center in downtown Champaign, offering a variety of classes designed to help students bring balance into their lives by finding strength and serenity through the practice of yoga. Registration is not required and individuals can join at any time. For more information, call 384-5829 or www.livingyogacenter.net.
Good morning and welcome to Focus 580. This is our morning talk program. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us. Morocco's Fez Festival of Sacred Music is perhaps the Islamic world's most influential arts festival. The founding of this festival in 1991 was a response to the first Persian Gulf War. It brought together people from the Jewish and Muslim and Christian faiths to share their sacred music. The festival's mission was to encourage tolerance and respect for other cultures and peoples. Now, a group of musicians has brought the festival to America in a touring version called The Spirit of Fez. They are on a 17-city tour of the United States. They're getting near the end. Tonight and tomorrow, they'll be performing at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts on the U of I campus. It's their only stop in the Midwest. They'll be performing in the Tryon Festival Theater. There are still tickets, so if people here in and around Champaign-Urbana are interested in attending the performance, you should feel welcome and go ahead and contact the ticket office. We're very pleased to have here with us in the studio two performers from the festival, Gabriel Meyer and Yaqub Hussein, as well as George Cruz, who is the tour director for The Spirit of Fez. And as we talk, of course, questions are welcome. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. People can join in at any point. Well, thank you all very much for
thank
being
you.
Here. Tell me, maybe someone, or you all might want to comment a little bit on this, can talk about how it is that this touring version, the Spirit of Fez, got going.
Well, the idea really came from Zeba Rahman, who is the head of the Fez Festival in America. She really put it together. She also works with the World Music Institute in New York, and she convinced a very large and influential booking agency in New York, Columbia Artist Management, to handle the booking for it. And this has been a kind of a leap of faith for everyone, because no one has ever done a tour quite like this before.
Mm. Well, what sets this apart from other, because they're now here in the United States, we're fortunate we hear more and more performers from different musical traditions and different places around the world. So world music isn't exactly new, but what is new about this?
Well, I think the fact that you have people from so many different traditions performing together. And we have done similar-ish tours, but I think the focus of this is on peace, is on understanding, is on cultural diversity in a way that, and I have been involved in tours with a lot of different kinds of music, and this is about something more than just the music, and I think that's what puts this apart.
Did I read right that this tour was organized at least in part as a response to the Iraq War, as the festival itself was in a sense organized in response to the Gulf War?
I think really the plans were underway before the war started. Yeah, so it's not a direct response, but it's I don't think it's lost on anyone the importance of doing something like this right at this point in time.
I think more than ever now is the time to share interfaith experiences through the arts and through culture, because people are so afraid, and I think it's really, really precious that, you know, American audiences get to experience what Muslims really are in the arts and in the culture, and what they can do together. For example, me and Yaqub, with Palestinian and Israeli, singing together about the same God. Because if there is one God, then we're all in this together, especially for Christians, Muslims, and Jews. So we might have different ways of calling that one holy creator, but it's the same one if there's only one. So mm-hmm. This is a way for people who might otherwise not really experience that, to experience it in the same stage and have the feeling of having Moroccan women singing with gospel women, singing with a Palestinian and an Israeli, which at this time I think it's a very important task, and it opens up the imagination of people to what the world could be like.
Yeah. Now, you two, I think the two of you, Gabriel and Yacoub, you have done something like this before. You have toured together and performed together.
Right? Yes.
Yes, we had. And as speaking on behalf of Islam, there is a little verse in Quran about, I would like to first to say it in Arabic, وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلًا لِتَعَارَفُوا, means God said, we made you different tribes and different peoples to get to know each other. And in there, he didn't say any specific things in Quran about how to get to know each other or the way of getting to know each other. And I think one of the ways we could get to know each other about each other cultures and traditions also through sacred music. And also through circular music, one of the ways of opening people's hearts and eyes on different cultures and similarities between the different cultures.
Hmm. Is it? Do you think there's something significant in the fact that it's not just people, that's not just musicians playing their music with other musicians, that something significant in the fact that it's sacred music that we're talking about? It's music that springs from the faith tradition of these people.
I think also this music is also building bridges between the different cultures, you know, especially the three different religions, is Christians and Jewish and Islam. They build more bridges through that sacred world of music, because if we go back to the older tradition, to the Biblical time or after the Biblical time, we could see how much as our ancestors or holy ancestors got along with each other through the tradition, through religion, because they were most understanding each other more than we do these days. And what we're doing, Gab and I, and the goal of this tour also, to build back those bridges, the one has been destroyed through politics, just through other fighting and misunderstanding each other.
There is a saying in the Kabbalah, in the Jewish mystical tradition, that you can only transform something, or you can sweeten the judgment, when you go back to the root of things. And I think that's what we're doing. When Yacoub sings an ancient Sufi chant and I sing an ancient Jewish chant together, we are sweetening the judgments against each other, because we're going to the root, and that's the only place where you can transform and heal something, is when you go to the root of that conflict or of that relationship. And I think that's what we're trying to do. The gospel sisters are singing a psalm in English, and we are dancing to it for peace, and then it goes all the way around. And then the Moroccan women are singing about that same energy that we're trying to ask for forgiveness and ask for purification and healing. So it really is sacred, is going to the root.
Mm-hmm. You're Jewish, and your father is a rabbi.
Was a rabbi, yeah.
Was a rabbi.
Yeah, he died 10 years ago, yeah.
And you're Muslim, and your father is
a Sufi
sheikh.
Yeah.
So there's certainly some similarities in your background, although obviously differences too. Mm-hmm. How did the two of you meet?
Well, I actually was brought to the mosque where Yacoub and his father and his family live, in a little village in the West Bank called Dir Kadis, by a common friend. His name is Eliyahu. And Yacoub's father had a vision that Jews would come to his mosque at some point and he would receive them. In the beginning, he didn't really know if this was a true vision or was the Satan talking to him, because this was in the first Intifada. But soon, like 10 years later or something like that, the first Jew came in, and then the second one was Eliyahu McLean, and the third one was me, and he brought me there, and I came with my drum, and I sang a song, and it just opened everybody's heart, just because we communicated not in a political language or in a cold language, but we just started with sacred music. I just took out my African djembe and sang a Sufi song in Arabic, and that totally opened Yacoub's father's heart, and then Yacoub and I became part of the family. And I was doing interfaith work in Israel, and brought some, together with Yacoub's father, Sufis, we also brought Native Americans to a Jewish holiday, and we did a three-part interfaith gathering. And then that's how we got invited to the States by the Native Americans. And the Sufi and the Jewish, we went to the Native American ceremony, and Yaqub and his father did a zikr, and I did a Kabbalah Shabbat, and we toured through churches, mosques, synagogues, and even the United Nations in the World Summit for Spiritual Leaders. And I was translating Yaqub's father, who was talking in Hebrew about the Quran. I was translating him into English. So, and then Yaqub was singing in Arabic, and I was singing in Hebrew. So, yeah, we did this before, and I think more than ever now it's so needed for people to experience it, not only to read about it and, you know, in a book, but to experience brotherhood live, you know.
Yeah. And I feel about it, it's like it's not something you were coming with or something modern. I think that goes back to our old times or our ancestors when they were in Spain, even before Spain, when the Muslim and when called Andalusia, the Muslim and Jewish and Christian got along with each other for 700-800 years together on learning and understanding, and a lot of bridges was built between the three traditions, and they wrote about each other books and through each other books from the Jewish tradition and Muslim tradition and Christian tradition, and those books has been taught until these days. But these days I think like we read a lot in those books, or even our holy books like as Quran or Torah or New Testament, but people here, a lot of people read and no understanding of the meaning of what we're reading, and that's reason of like the conflicts and the violence is going on. And in front of me here, the Quran is the Muslim holy book. To prove it's really that's not something in you what we're doing. It's like that goes back to the biblical time of, or even our ancestors from Abraham time, when God has said to Muhammad 1500 years ago to ask him to say, there's a chapter here called the House of Umran, which is like the House of David. The name of the chapter, 95, verse 95, saying, God has spoken truly, so follow the sect of Abraham, the Seeker. He was no one to associate others with God. So here God asking Muhammad and the Muslim, or to teach the Muslim, to follow the sect of Abraham, which is like the religion of Abraham. What the religion was of Abraham, the oneness, to follow only one God. So Islam, it's not like a modern thing. It's Islam, go back to the Judaism, go back to the Christianity. The Islam is like renewing the message of a Christian or Jewish, and maybe like in a little different ways, but it seems the same thing and take it to the same place. So when Gavin and I, we do like stand on the stage and sing together, we're going back to the ancient time to trying to show people less. Yeah, we came from here, and here we continue to the same message and to the same place.
Let me reintroduce, because somebody we might have some people listening who have just tuned in since since we began. I want to make sure they know who they're listening to. We're talking with two performers from the Spirit of Fez. This is a group of musicians from different backgrounds. Some are Jewish, some are Christian, some are Muslim. They're touring together and performing their sacred music, sometimes individually and then also sometimes together. There are times when all musicians sort of join in or in different kind of combinations. The idea of the whole thing being to that somehow the pursuit of God is something that they all share, and it's something that has been touring here. The group has been touring around the United States. They're near the end of the tour. Here they're at the Krannert Center tonight and tomorrow. They're only Midwest stops on this tour, so perhaps you might like to attend the performance tonight, tomorrow at the Tryon Festival Theater at the Krannert Center. There are still tickets, so do that. And of course, questions here, welcome 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. Just again to introduce our guests, Gabriel Meyer, Yaqub Hussein, and also here in the studio with us is the tour director for Spirit of Fez, George Cruz.
Yeah, I would like to add that it's not just the pursuit of God, but it's the aspect of God, which is called peace. And that's the name of God in the Sufi tradition. One of the names, the 90 names of God in Islam is God, is Salam, and also in Hebrew, Shalom. So this is the emphasis of, you know, because there are many people who talk in the name of God, but very few remember that the real name of God is peace. And this is what we're trying to emphasize through our music. I personally lead in Israel a project called the Sulha Peace Project, which is a reconciliation between Arabs and Jews in Israel. And the last year we had a gathering of 2,000 people. This year we have a gathering of 5,000 people, including Arabs and Jews, Palestinians and Israelis. And I just would like the audience to know that there's efforts like this being done in Israel and in Palestine. It's not all what you see in CNN about violence. There's beautiful things happening. There's thousands of people who want peace. And these are grassroots efforts that are happening in Israel today.
There is an awful lot of violence around the world that seems somehow, if not motivated by religion, at least connected to religion in the sense that it's something that divides people. And in spite of the fact that here, in spite of the fact that the things you have said about the fact that certainly, at least when you're talking about Christians, Muslims, and Jews, it's all one tradition. There are people who believe that there is only one way, and it's theirs. And I guess I wonder how it is you would encourage people, if they think that way, to think past that and to embrace the idea that that the spiritual pursuit, the truths that people are looking for, it's somehow all the same, and it's not just that one person's right, and either you believe their way or that, or that's that.
Some people call that triumphalism, meaning that my way is going to, in the end of days, is going to prove that I was right and you were wrong. So we're trying to get past that mode of thinking that one is right and the other one is wrong into a win-win situation. Because if there is really one God, then there's so many ways, because we are created differently. And I would say that for somebody who thinks that, there is to think different and transform somebody, you can't talk at the level that they are thinking. You have to make them experience emotionally something different, something that is going to take them away from their way of thinking. So you can't address somebody who's thinking something through the thought process. You got to make him feel something different. Mm-hmm. And that we do in our gatherings in Israel practically through eating together, through singing together, through laughing together, through crying together, through telling jokes together, singing lullabies, having cultural workshops where people learn their different dances, and showing that people are people. People have sweat, that we all sweat. We have different tastes of our sweat, but we all do. We all eat. We all cry. We all laugh. And when you feel that in a gathering, when you feel that in reality, rather than somebody telling, oh, you can't be a fanatic, you have to be pluralistic, if you tell somebody that in the same level that they're talking, you won't get far. But if you go to somewhere else in human experience, this is how I think this tour is affecting people, because we are not preaching at them mm-hmm. that they have to believe that Abraham is the father of Jews, Christians, and Muslims. We are experiencing it, and the audience is experiencing it with us, because we're having fun when we play together. In the last song, in the finale, we come all out, and we kind of arrange this song that has Native American origin, but then we added a different melody, and the Moroccan women sing their own song to it, and we're all on the stage together. And it feels like we are one family, the same like when we travel in a bus and the Moroccan women start singing and we join. And it's real. It's not something that is written in a book. So I think to get out of fundamentalism, you got to address some other part of the heart, basically. You have to change the heart of somebody. And that you don't do through talking sometimes. You do through singing.
Mm. Do you think that the spirit, the fact that it is sacred music, that people are singing about religious matters, comes through even if you don't understand the language that people are singing in? Does it feel to you like that it's one spirit, even though people are using different words to talk about it?
Yes, I feel like, because everybody has a soul, and our soul is the part of the soul to feel. Okay, and see the light of the other souls immediately. So maybe sometimes people don't understand the word in there, but anyway, in the festival, we do have a translation of the songs in there. So when the audience come in, so they read what the songs we're singing in there. But I feel also the same time as the soul, when it hears the sacred music, the soul would dance with it, because that's the food of the soul, the sacred music. Or the traditional music, the food of the soul. So when the soul start moving in there, and that's when they start, like, the mind also thinking about what they're listening. And then when they go out, they start searching, oh, what is Judaism is, what Islam is, what the Christianity is, what Native American is, what Buddhist is. So they may go get a book or go maybe go to somewhere to learn about those traditions or go back to their mind and think like, well, I was thinking that wrong way. I believe in one way and one thing. You know, I should open myself up more and trying to get myself open, at least to learn about others. I didn't have really to follow that, but at least to make sure I understand it. You know, not be close in one way and that's it, I'm taking it.
We have a caller here. Why don't we talk with them? Someone listening in West Champaign on line number one.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I feel we all are one family. And we're so blessed that you are here. A group of seven of us are coming to a concert tonight, and we're so glad. And in fact, we are family by choice. We worship together and eat together and cry together. And when one of us has a problem, we're all there and laugh together and do things together. And we're so glad we're coming together to your concert tonight. And I truly wish that the whole world would have your spirituality, music, which is music from the heart and music from the soul, and it is the food of the soul, and gosh, wish you could multiply yourself hundreds of thousands of times.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
Other people who are listening, if you have questions, you want to get on the conversation, you
can
do that.
Seven seems to be the significant number for this. There are seven Jackson sisters, and they are all sisters, and there are seven Moroccan women in the La Femme de Taradon.
Tell me, now, I hate to get to something so mundane as this, but I am curious, and I want to ask George Cruz about just what exactly is involved in moving the show from one city to another. You've on this 17-city tour,
we're all laughing.
You got a how many people are there all?
There are 30 people altogether,
so you're moving 30
including
people.
The crew, which is very small for a tour of this. And we have a couple of people who are just really working very hard. Sean King, who is our technical director, and Terry Grace, who is our director, program director, and myself. My job is really to move everybody around, make sure that there's a bus at the airport, and make sure that everybody gets where they're going, that everybody's on the bus, and that everybody has food. And when I first took this job, I was thinking, oh, this is going to be interesting. I'm going to have to come up with kosher and halal and barbecue all at the same time.
So is that possible?
Actually, everybody eats chicken, so we eat a lot of chicken on this job.
What sort of groups have you done this before?
Well, I did two tours for World Music Institute called Gypsy Caravan, where we had people from the Gypsy tradition that started in Rajasthan and India and went through the Middle East and Europe into ended up in Spain. So we had, in one tour there were four, and in another tour there were six groups where we were speaking nine different languages, not counting English, and everybody had different traditions. It was quite an interesting thing, and that's... I mean, it's a fascinating thing to watch as a tour like this unfolds, as people get to know each other. At the beginning of the tour, everybody sat in the bus in their own groups, and now everybody's spread out, everybody's friends. Mm.
So, and is the primary way of getting from one place to another on a bus?
There are five flights, but each flight leads to another chartered bus. And most of the travels by bus. Yeah.
So you all have spent a lot of time together over the last few weeks. And aside at the beginning that Gabriel and Yacoub, you two had known each other. Had you known any of the other people that were part of this tour? You had not met them before this thing started?
No.
They had all performed at the festival, but in different years.
But in Morocco, they had all performed at the festival. Yeah. The two of you, Yacoub and Gabriel, performed together as the first performance, right?
It's an invocation. We're trying to get spirit open.
Describe that. What it is that you do?
Well, we thought we might sing to you a little bit of that if you're into.
I'd be happy to. This is.
I can tell you what we're the first song that we're not going to sing here. I'm singing an ancient hymn from the 8th century called Enkeloeinu, which means there is no God like our God, which is what Yaqub is saying in Arabic, La ilaha illallah. So it's basically the same exact meaning that he's singing in his tradition and I'm singing in my tradition.
Okay.
And then we go into this little chant that we can do a little bit of, okay, if you want.
I've given no warning at all to my director,
oh,
Jason Croft. So he'll go with you. We'll see how
so
it goes.
So before we start, what I'm saying in Hebrew is pray to the Holy One. The prophet lives within his breath. That's what I'm saying. And Yaqub is saying, Salli
ya Rabbi wa sallim an Nabi khayrul bariya. We're saying here, like, God has said peace and prayers on the prophet in general, any prophets, and the best in the creation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, Gabriel Meyer, Yaqub Hussein.
صلي يا ربي وسلم عن نبي خير البرية روضة الهادي نبينا هيئت للمتقين
اتبالل لو اتبالل عن نبي خايب نشيما Itpalel Eloa, Itpalel, Annabi Chai Baneshima.
هذه الدنيا تزول والبقاء ليس يطول كل من يمشي يقول
Itpalel Eloa, Itpalel Annabi Chai Baneshima Itpalel Eloa Itpalel Annabi Chai Baneshima
Salli Ya Rabbi Wa Sallim Annabi Khairul Bariya
Itpalel Eloa Itpalel النبي خايب نشيما
صلي يا ربي وسلم على النبي خير البرية
صلي يا ربي وسلم على النبي خير البرية
صلي يا ربي وسلم النبي خير البرية صلي يا ربي وسلم النبي خير البرية صلي يا ربي وسلم.
Thank you very much. Yaqub Hussein and Gabriel Meyer. Can people sit still? Do you find people in the audience wanting to? You either see them, they're moving in their seats, or do people actually get up?
Well, people move in their seats. We had a great experience with children the first time we did it in Tucson. The kids, when we started this and Yaqub started drumming, they started going. You know, kids don't have this censorship.
No inhibition.
So they got up and danced. Yeah.
And speaking of the kids, that's the best things, like, really we do and do the show in front of the kids, because it's the kids are the future of this life. So when they come in to see our show as young kids and Jewish and Muslim and Christians, and they're singing together, they're going to hold that in their mind for their memories. So that's the best thing also to start with a young generation, to bring a new generation out to the life, a new future with understanding of the situation, more than like right this time it will be people kind of misunderstanding. So they already have built the bridge, starting to build the bridge is young time.
Well, if you're interested in hearing more music, I want to mention for people who are listening that our two guests here this morning, Gabriel and Yaqub, are two of the performers that are part of the Spirit of Fez. And it is something that has a sort of a touring version here in the United States that was an outgrowth of Morocco's Fez Festival of Sacred Music. There are performers who are Jewish, who are Christian, who are Muslim, who are all performing their sacred musics together. They're going to give two performances. It's their only stop here in the Midwest. tonight and tomorrow at 7:30 in the evening in the Tryon Festival Theater at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. And there are tickets yet available. So if you would like to attend the performance, you can do that. Questions here certainly are also welcome. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. Here is someone else in Champaign, line number one. Hello.
I heard one of you talking, or both of you talking, on an NPR program, and you said something about, you know, reaching the part of the brain that is the limbic part rather than the cerebral part, or cerebral cortex,
mm-hmm.
which has a lot to do with maybe rational thinking or mm-hmm. argument, or maybe even irrational arguments. And I was just wondering what kind of background in music or psychology or religion led you to talk about those kind of things. You see some kind of relation between how music affects the brain and sacred experience or meditation or prayer?
Yeah. Well, actually, I was talking first about the reptilian part of the brain, which is what we have in the world mostly ruling today, which is greed. And people saying, you know, my way is the best way and the true way, and your way is not, and this is mine. And you know, the reptilian, you know, trying to really hold on to territory and beat you up, and like my rise is your fall. So that's one part of the brain. With music, what I was saying is that the limbic system of the brain gets opened up and emotion starts flowing, and that's our mammal part of the brain. And the cortex is for higher vision, actually, and that comes through when the limbic system is open. My background is very eclectic. I've traveled and studied and lived in Europe, India, Africa. I grew up in Argentina. I live in Israel. I've lived in the Sinai Desert. I really make an effort to study and learn wherever I go. So for the sacred traditions of each culture. And I grew up in the house of a rabbi who was an spiritual activist, I would say. His teacher was Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel, who was very good friends with Martin Luther King Jr. and marched in Selma, Alabama as a rabbi, and was against the war in Vietnam. My father was in Argentina with the mothers of the Plaza de Mayo and fighting the dictatorship there, and I joined him. So I grew up in a house where the heart was the center of attention, and more than the actual laws of Judaism, I learned the love to Judaism. So my father taught Judaism through hugging rather than through the laws of how to do things. So, yeah, when I talk about things, I try to integrate, and that's what I've been doing in the last 10 years since I've arrived in Israel. I've also was a poet, so I've been an actor in Argentina. So I've been integrating the arts, creativity, and nature, and healing, and spirituality throughout the last 10 years. So that's my work, to integrate. I said once to a friend in the tour, to Jamie actually, that once upon a time it was all together. People would go to the Temple of Solomon and they would experience theater, music, psychoanalysis, and therapy, and ecstasy, and a discotheque, and everything, and God and the church at once. And then it got all divided, and now we go on Monday to the shrink, and then on Tuesday we go to the theater, and Friday night, if you're Jewish, you go Saturday or Friday night to the service, or if you go to church on Sunday morning, and it got all fragmented. And our work, or what I feel is my job in the puzzle, is to integrate back where really theater comes from and healing comes from. And I think the arts, when they are rooted in healing, are a very transformational tool for humanity. And that's what I'm trying to do.
Yes, it seems that if you learn Judaism through hugging and love, that's very much related to Sufism. And I was wondering what then led you back to Israel. Or back, or maybe not back to Israel, but to Israel for the first time.
I visited Israel before, but what led me to Israel was living in Egypt, actually, in the Sinai Desert. I lived there for a year. I had bought a camel with some friends, and we built a house, a stone house, and I started meeting Israelis that were into the same journey that I was in Sinai, where the best of Israelis go to, the artists and the spiritual beings that want to transform the harsh reality that we have. And what you said before is really true. Sufism and the mystical side of Judaism are very connected, and they've been throughout the ages, and there is proof of that. People have been doing praying together, Sufis and Kabbalists, for centuries. So like Yaqub said before, this is not new.
And when you were in the Sinai, was it under Israeli or Egyptian control?
Egyptian control, but actually Sinai, it's always been Bedouin. It's never been Israeli or Egyptian. It's just the same people with the camels and the goats and the tea and the music and very simple people that remind me a lot of the women from Tarudant when I met them. They're like my grandmas, like my ancient grandmas.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yacoub, you wanted to answer?
I would like to say her question had reminded me with also another little verse in Quran when God said, "Abdul Allah qiyaman wa julusan wa qu'uda," means like you can worship me like by sitting, by standing, you doing anything of worshiping me. Like here we are in the radio station, we're worshiping God too. And that's where the point of Islam it came, or the Sufism in Islam came to worship God through also through music, through dancing, through hugging, through loving, through teaching, through meeting each other, through learning from each other. So that's what I'd like to add on that.
Very good. Another caller here. This is also Champagne in line two. Hello.
Hello. I want to make a comment and ask a question. I plan to attend tonight's concert, and I'm very, very excited about it. Thank you for having your guests here. The question is about children and hope. I think probably they're the future, as you know, of the world, and I've always been inclined toward holistic care, and I do talk about fragmenting, and I'll hang up and listen to the response of your guests. And that, so I'm plugging you, plus.
Okay, I'm not sure where the question is, or what. I just want to make sure before you go away that we lost the caller. I think what the caller was talking about was, and I know a little bit about her, and so her interest comes out of healthcare, mm-hmm. And you know within healthcare, I think there's a greater appreciation for the fact that somehow you have to treat the whole mm-hmm. person. Mm-hmm. You know, which means going further than just figuring out symptoms and say, "Here, take this pill and go mm-hmm. away, and you'll be fine." I guess it has the idea that there people do have a spiritual dimension, and if it's out of order, then physically you can be out of order, mm-hmm. and then to make people well physically, you have to go beyond just dealing with their bodies. I guess that's the. That's when I hear someone talk about holism and healthcare, that's what I sort of think.
Yeah,
about.
I would just add to that the word for peace in Hebrew, shalom, comes from the word whole, shalem. That's the root of the word. So mm-hmm. to have peace, you have to have the whole. And what we say in Kabbalah is that you have the body, the emotional self, the intellectual self, and the spiritual self. So there are four parts of our being that need to be addressed. And in a practical way, she talked about children. We do that in our last Sulha gathering. We had 300 children, Arabs and Jewish, and they were addressing all of those levels, playing with their bodies. They had a talking circle for the emotional self. There was workshops for the intellectual self. And there was spiritual prayer that was done for kids also. And I want to just pitch in for this gathering, August 17 to 19 in Israel. It's going to be for 5,000 people for peace. And there's a website, sulha.com, if anybody's interested. And everybody's invited.
Okay.
And also, I want to say about taking care of the body. In Sufism, the Sufi there in Islam, to hold a balance between the soul as spirituality in there and the physical body and also the brain to make a level, you know, as a scale. To make a level between the same level, to bring to the same level between the soul and the brain. So the spiritual one be higher than the human brain of thinking that way. So it be on the same level so we could continue living on this earth and at the same time be touched with the first home in heaven or anywhere else where our souls likes to go and to travel and to be. So we could stay with our children, we could keep our jobs, and at the same time we experiencing our or exercising our spirituality in there. And also want to add about the children, I have a little story maybe to share if you would let me that. Back in Israel in 2000, before I came in the the tour with my father, Sheikh Abu Saleh and Gabi Meyer, to tour around the United States, I went to a Jewish bar mitzvah. We got invited by Jewish Hasidic Jewish and Jewish mushav by the village where we live at. And this Jewish mushav, very much as Jewish Orthodox people live in there. So we went to bar mitzvah for triplets in there. My father sat with the rabbis and the other people, and I was sitting on the side. So a lot of Jewish kids came around me. Was like over 20 kids in there, and all of them with a question, politics questions. So I thought like, wow, I mean, you guys are attacking me so bad with those questions, a lot of politics. Let's just take care of our tradition and religion in here. Forget about Arafat, forget about Ehud Barak, that's the Prime Minister of Israel. So just let's talk about the Torah and Quran if we really want to talk about reality, because politics is also reality, but that's not the way of really getting along with each other. We want to talk about something similarity so we could get along with each other and get with each other. So when we start talking about Quran and Judaism and Islam and Jewish and all of that, so their mind start opening up more. And they asked me one thing before I left. Can you arrange for us a soccer game between your village kids and our mushav in here? And I asked them, do you mind, like, if we have it somewhere in a Palestinian village, like in my village in West Bank territory, which is like 5 minutes away from you? No, we didn't mind. And if we win, you know, you'll take us to Aglida. Aglida in Hebrew means ice cream. Or if you win, guys, we'll take you to ice cream. But we went to make sure that it's kosher. And I was like, well, we'll make sure also it'll be halal, which is like the same thing. So, and that's the way I want to say to the point, the way how we grew up in our house, the way how we be taught as Palestinian or Israeli, I was Jewish or Muslim or Buddhist or Christian, the way how we be taught at home, we bring that with us on the street. So the thing is, like, when we talk, when we lay in front of kids and we work with kids in there, we open in their mind up to see other things more than the way they have been taught at home.
The performers here in the spirit of Fest are all from these three linked traditions, Jewish, Christian, and Muslim. Anybody thought about getting some Buddhists involved in this?
There actually was a Buddhist singer who was originally scheduled to do the tour, and it was just because of scheduling conflicts that she couldn't get away for 6 weeks. From commitments that she'd already made, and we were very disappointed by that, but perhaps in the next edition.
Mm. So you think that there will be a next edition of the Spirit of Fest?
Well, we hope so. The response to this has been really overwhelming, and I'm certainly hopeful that we can do it again. Okay. I think the world needs it.
Let's talk with some other people here. Gibson City, next, line 3. Hello.
Yes, hello.
Yes.
Yes, well, I just want to say I haven't heard of your group, but I've been to Israel-Palestine twice as a Christian peacemaker, and the hope that I got was from the ordinary, everyday people of all three faiths. And I just want to say that your group just adds one more piece of hope to me for all three religions involved. And I also appreciate the Native American background, because I do have Native American in my background. And I just want to say I'm so glad I got a chance to listen to your program. And I hope to make it to your concert tonight and just keep up the good work, because I believe that this is how it happens. Not with the powers and principalities, but with people like you and ordinary, everyday people wanting just to have peace. And I guess I think mostly peace in our religions.
Bless you.
Bless you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And we're talking about multicultures and things like that. I'm a Sufi Muslim, a Palestinian from West Bank, and I'm married from a Native American. She's a Navajo and a Comanche. So here, the mix is coming through. So we're learning, crossing cultures.
We have about 10 minutes left. We have some other callers. Let's talk next with someone in Urbana, line 1. Hello.
Yes, hello. I'm really appreciating the program. I'll be going to the concert on tomorrow night, and I greatly look forward to it. But I'm just wondering if you also speak then, you know, maybe the music will just speak for itself, but I'm hoping that some of the things that you've said today, because not everybody gets to hear these broadcasts, will also get said, for instance, about the festival in August, and that you won't, that you'll also take advantage of the opportunity to tell people some of the things that you've been saying on the program today.
I think there is a panel tomorrow, panel discussion at from 5 to 6, but I'm not sure of the details. Do you have a number to call for that?
I don't, because I'm not arranging the panel discussions.
Okay, I think it's on Wednesday from 5 to 6. I don't have exactly the... I think in the paper, a paper called The Paper, there was a venue for that, if you can help me out with that.
Okay.
There's an article there, and... this is gonna. Yep. Oh, there it is. Okay, there's a panel from 5 to 6 somewhere.
In the bottom.
Yeah. We have done panel discussions at most of the venues.
Okay. In conjunction with the festival, Cranon Center, a companion colloquium entitled Giving a Soul to Globalization takes place from 5 to 6 on Wednesday in the Tryon Festival Theater. Okay. So the same place that the performance.
Okay.
And would you also like mention the festival in August that you were talking about to the audience that are at the program?
Yeah, I'll try if they give me enough time. For me, it's very important. I say the website again is sulha.com. You can get info there.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Very good. And let's go to another Urbana call. This is line 2. Hello.
Hello. Is this me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm a board member of a nonprofit organization in Champaign-Urbana called the Whirlwind Project. And if you haven't heard of this, I know that you'll hear about it tomorrow because two of the panel members are part of the Whirlwind board. This is our third year, and we are the purpose of it is to bring together ecumenical groups. There's the Jewish community, the Imam of the mosque, and a number of local Christian clergy are part of the group. And we use sacred stories to put together, basically the mission statement says, to bring together, to explore sacred stories, traditions, and perspective through music, dialogue, and the arts. The first year of the program, we focused on the Exodus story. Last year, we focused on the Book of Job. And this year, our theme is the art of meditation. And so I was thrilled to hear that you were coming to town because there's a lot of people in town who are doing what you're doing, and it's very exciting, and thank you for being here.
Great.
Right. Very good. Thank you. We are coming down to about, as I said, last 6 or 7 minutes. If somebody wants to call real quick and get in here, you can do that, 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. And I just, for people who are maybe thinking about going, I do want to mention that in addition to the two performers that we have here with us, Yaqub Hussein and Gabriel Meyer, there are some other people involved. There is a singer named Françoise Atlan who sings in the Andalusian Jewish tradition. There is the Moroccan women's group, the Women's Hadra Ensemble of Terroudant. They're performing in an American gospel group, the Anointed Jackson Sisters. So it's a lot of different kinds of music, and that is the idea. We're taking sacred music from the Christian, Muslim, Jewish traditions, all performing, and then also doing some cross-cultural, cross-traditional kind of stuff as well. That's tonight, tomorrow, at the Tryon Festival Theater at the Cranon Center for the Performing Arts. And there are, we're told there are still tickets, so if you want to
go. We also have Jamie Haddad, who is a percussionist, a Lebanese-American from Christian background.
Yeah. So a number of different musicians, different kinds of music, and they've been traveling around the country together for the last couple of weeks here in the studio with us, Gabriel Meyer, Yaqub Hussein, and also George Cruz, who's the tour director, who's the guy that's responsible for getting the show from one place to the next. No small feat, I'm sure. When how many people you said? 30?
30.
30? Yeah. People.
Many bags.
53, to be precise.
I'm sure. It's just I'm just really fascinated by the idea of the whole thing and the idea of having people from very different, linked but very different traditions coming together.
It's also very different cultures. Like the Moroccan women have never been in the States, and the oud player has never been out of Morocco. So for them, today they were in Walmart. For them, it's like a cultural shock, you know? Like, so.
It's for McDonald's.
Or everything. It's like a whole translation. We're talking 4 languages constantly, going from Arabic to Hebrew to French to English.
At the airport in Newark, when we got on the flight to come here, the ladies from Teradon had never seen an escalator before. We had to take them by the hand and show them how to get on and off the escalator.
I would have liked to go with them to the Walmart to find out what they thought. Although I also would have someone would have said, well, this really isn't the highest value we have in this country. You know, you'd get that
but
idea.
But when we leave here, we'll probably have at least 57 bags.
Okay. It's not exactly the temple of America, although some people might see it that way. We have some other folks to talk with. Loda next, line one. Hello. Yes.
I have a question. I purchased a CD from the Fez Festival in Morocco of 96. It's called the Bismillah. And on the track 5, it features Sheikh Ahmed Barain. Is he going to be in the group in this festival?
No, not this year. There are several compilation CDs which are live performances from the Fez Festival. Most of them are not the artists that are touring with us. Francois is on one of the four CDs that we have.
There's
a lot of people involved.
I just want to share that it was through this CD that led me to Rumi. Rumi led me to Buddhism, and it's just an opening of my consciousness. It's just beautiful music, and I thank you for bringing it and sharing it.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thanks.
So for people who, obviously, people here around Champaign-Urbana could attend the performance, but there are some CDs that include music that was recorded in Morocco at the festival. And the festival has been going now since 1991. So
There is a festival website, which is fezfestival.com, fezfestival.com. And that is an ongoing thing, and people can keep in touch with what's going on with it.
And as we said earlier, though, all of the people who are in Spirit of Fez have performed in Morocco at the festival.
Not
right?
all.
No? Really?
No.
We haven't.
You guys haven't performed at the festival in Morocco? Well, they ought to sign you up.
Yeah.
Inshallah.
I'm sure we'll get to
We have to leave it at that. With, again, our thanks to Gabriel Meyer and Yaqub Hussein and George Cruz from the Spirit of Fez Festival. And I'll say it one more time that they're here. Their only stop in the Midwest. They're on a 17-city tour. Only stop in the Midwest at the Krannert Center tonight and tomorrow at 7:30. And then also there is this panel discussion.
From 5 to 6 on Wednesday.
5 to 6 on Wednesday. That's also at the Tryon Festival Theater at the Krannert Center. And I want to thank you all very, very much.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Programming here on AM 580, made possible in part by a grant from the Thrifty Nichols American Classifieds, distributed each Thursday in over 100 towns in East Central Illinois, on the web at americanclassifieds.com. Coming up in the next part of Focus 580, we'll be talking with Ira Berlin. He's an historian from University of Maryland who's spending this spring here on the campus of the University of Illinois, is generally acknowledged to be maybe America's leading historian of slavery. Has written a lot about it, and we'll be talking about it and its significance to America, the way that it helped to shape this country with him in the next part of Focus. So I hope you'll stick with us. Right now, though, we'll break. We'll have news from NPR at 1 minute past the hour. Before that, an update on the commodity markets.
And with this update, I'm Tom Rogers at 1 minute before 11 o'clock Central. May wheat on the Board of Trade is currently up 6 1/4 cents at 412. The July contract at 416, up 5 3/4.